Okay, so last time we were looking at single station queues, so single queues, and we were seeing what's sort of extending the sort of interesting results we could find for them, and we looked at two types of queues, those with state-dependent rates and priority queues. Now, the idea with state-dependent rates was that your arrival and departure processes and your service processes were Poisson, but now the rate of either the arrival or the departure was dependent on the state of the queue, so how many jobs were in the system. We saw that these could be solved in using the same methodology as we did for the MM1 queue with a constant rate, the constant rates of mu and lambda. The two examples we looked at were multi-server queues, and these are used in general to model switching systems, and you can have either a loss or a delay model for that, roughly corresponding to a circuit switch versus a packet switch, where in a circuit switch, if you can't make the circuit, you don't have a connection, so you have loss. In a packet switch, if you can't make the connection immediately, you end up having delay. Erlang's B and C formula covered the two cases of loss and delay. We also looked then at queues with bulking, and here arrivals turn or are turned away as the state grows. So there's more congestion waiting in the system, less arrivals choose to enter the queue. And we noted that we could model our red policy in that fashion, although we were making some assumptions. For priority queues, the idea is that individual classes are served differently, and this affects the delay that different classes are going to experience. The global statistics, so the average queue length and the average delay, remain the same, but by rearranging who gets service when, certain people will experience more delay, certain people will experience less delay. Okay, so we have a short lecture today. We're going to look at, just so we don't think that the only thing you can do with a queue is, analyze it sort of in isolation, we're going to look at queuing networks today. And these can get rather complex, but we'll look at a few fairly basic results for them. Okay. We're going to assume that, to whatever extent possible, our arrival and service regimes are Poisson. Okay. And now, instead of entering the queue and exiting the queue, and that's the end of the story, those jobs that exit queues may enter into other queues and form the work for other queues. Okay. So what we have then is that the arrival process at a station's queue is composed of departure processes from other queues and arrivals from outside the network. We can categorize networks as either open or closed, or cyclic or acyclic. An open network is the type of network that we have in mind when we're talking about packet switch networks, or indeed circuit switch networks, data networks as we know them. it's open if the jobs come from outside the network. And so if we have users wishing to transport packets, then they're transporting them through this open network and expecting them to exit, you know, both enter into and then exit from the network. It's a closed network if there's a fixed number of customers continually circulating amongst nodes in the network. And again, there are sort of examples of this if you want to look at, say, computer systems and various software functions, that may be the case, but again, not that it's not what we're interested in. The networks may also either be cyclic or acyclic. They're acyclic if a customer visits a node at most once, and they're cyclic if customers may visit nodes multiple times. And if you think of about sort of our routing policies, generally we don't explicitly ban cyclic networks, although you can think that if you're revisiting a router that you've already visited, then that's not going to be the most efficient method. And in general, the routing policies work to be somewhat acyclic in nature. Analytically, we'll see that acyclic networks are more straightforward to deal with. So we'll look at both. We'll look at strictly open networks, since these are the ones that more closely model what we want them to model. And we will look at both acyclic and cyclic versions. Okay, and so just in terms of representing these, typically we'll just look at this set of nodes and arrows, and each node will represent a queue. And we're again going to assume that the queue has one or more servers and is unlimited in length. And the arrows represent possible paths of a customer in exiting one queue and moving on to possibly one or more other new queues. Okay. And so here we see that you enter at one of these two queues, and there is no way back. You can never visit a node more than once, so that's an acyclic network. And in this case, we do have cycles. You can return to nodes that you've already visited, so that's a cyclic network. We're going to look at acyclic networks first, because they have they have one property that makes them very straightforward to deal with, and that property is described in Burke's theorem. And so, given its simplest form, given an MM1 queue with arrival rate lambda and service rate mu, departures from the queue form a Poisson process with rate lambda. Okay, so we've never actually looked or thought too deeply about departures from the queue, because if you only have one queue, well, once it's gone, it's gone. The theorem also applies for MM, for multi-server queues. Okay, and what makes that so nice is obviously that it means that if you're hooking queues together now, and the departure from one queue becomes the arrivals for the other, The arrival process for the queue, for the second queue, is now Poisson. Okay, so we are dealing with MM whatever queues, even when they're hooked up together. Okay. So there's a number of ways to prove Burke's theorem. We're going to sort of do the brute force method. We're going to derive the PDF for the interdeparture time from the first queue. The interdeparture time from the first queue is obviously the interarrival time for the second queue. Okay, and so we're going to think about what happens when a job departs and how long it'll take for the next job to depart. And we can split that up into two possibilities. In the first case, there's another job waiting. Okay. Now, the probabilities, again, think about this queue. The probability that there is a job waiting is rho. Okay, so it's 1 minus P0. And if there's a job waiting, then all we have is the distribution on the interdeparture time is just the distribution on the service time. Okay. In our second case, there are no jobs waiting. And again, the probability for this is P0 or 1 minus rho. Now, since the arrivals are Poisson, the interdeparture time is derived from the sum of the interarrival time and the service time. Okay, we can appeal to the memoryless property on arrivals and say, well, whenever we observe it, as long as the arrival hasn't happened, we have just this exponential distribution giving our distribution that will happen at a future time. Then, following that, we obviously have to have a service time. Okay. So the arrival time is exponential with rate lambda, and the service time is exponential with rate mu. So the PDF, the probability that that the interdeparture time is a given time t, is just a weighted sum of the probability given, sort of the conditional probabilities times the probability that that condition holds. So you have rho times probability, the distribution given you had a job waiting, plus 1 minus rho times the distribution given there was no job waiting. Okay. So if we return to the question of what is the distribution given there's no job waiting, again, we said it was the sum of two exponentials, one rate lambda, one rate mu. And again, we can derive that by integrating over the conditional probability density function times, again, the distribution on the condition. Okay, so the probability that x plus y equals t is the integral of the probability y equals t minus x, given x equals little x, times the probability that x equals little x, And, of course, we have to integrate that over all x. Obviously, x cannot be greater than t, or this thing won't equal to t. Okay, so we can plug that in. And we do that here. And so probably y equals t minus x given x equals x is mu e to the minus t mu t minus x. And the probability that x equals little x is e to the lambda e to the minus lambda x. And so we just integrate that out. It's quite straightforward. We can pull out e to the minus mu t, collect together our x terms, integrate, and so you divide by the mu minus lambda and evaluate at the, that should be x, x equals 0 to t, and so you get e to the minus mu, e to the mu minus lambda t minus 1, multiplying back through by e to the minus mu t, you get e to the mu times lambda over mu minus lambda e to the minus lambda t minus e to the minus mu t. Okay, so that's our PDF for the inter-departure time given no job waiting. So again, we plug in probability that there's a job waiting, PDF, conditional on there being a job waiting, plus probability no job waiting, PDF conditional on no job waiting. Okay. Now, that doesn't immediately look like what we need. That is, it doesn't, it's not completely obvious that that's lambda e to the minus lambda t, but we can simplify this formula. So this is our formula. So consolidate everything with a denominator of mu minus lambda. That means we have to multiply by mu minus lambda here. And then just consolidate our terms. Here we have rho times mu, and that's lambda, so we get lambda mu minus lambda squared, e to the minus mu t. Same thing, this we'll get lambda here. Lambda mu here, excuse me, and lambda squared here, e to the minus lambda t minus e to the minus mu t. What we see from that is that the e to the minus mu t terms cancel out, and we're left with lambda mu minus lambda squared e to the minus lambda t over mu minus lambda. Obviously, we can pull out the mu minus lambda and cancel it with the denominator, and that gives us lambda e to the minus lambda t. Okay, so what we see from that is that the inter-departure process is, the inter-departure times are exponential rate lambda, which means that the inter-departure process is Poisson rate lambda. Okay, so that's Burke's theorem. It's sort of an interesting and not completely obvious result. Okay. So, last lecture we asserted that if we aggregate independent Poisson streams, then we have a Poisson stream with the with rate, which is the sum of the individual rates. And similarly, if we split the Poisson stream in a random fashion, then we get independent Poisson streams, where the rates are scaled by how by the split factor. So what this means is that if we have our acyclic networks, all of our flows are Poisson. So all the arrivals and departures from a queue are Poisson. Okay. And yeah, what that means is that you can sort of treat the queues independently, and analyze each queue individually and serve as a composite. Okay. So this holds for acyclic networks. We should think about what happens if we have a cycle. And we can consider just sort of a very simple case. We'll consider a queue where, with probability R, customers return immediately, and with probability 1 minus R, they exit. Okay. Now think about something where jobs arrive from the outside rarely, but if you have a job, then it's highly likely that it's going to return. Okay, so that means that R is close to 1 and the arrival rate is close to 0. Then it's pretty easy to convince oneself that in that case, the feedback traffic is very closely correlated to the arrivals, and hence you do not have Poisson traffic. Okay, so essentially once you get one entrant, you know you're going to have a bunch, and that's not Poisson. Okay, so if you have cycles in the network, then you cannot make this assumption. Okay, so to see how this is useful, we're just going to look at a relatively simple example and see what sort of results we can get for it. And so we're going to have the following network. So traffic arrives at Q1 and it arrives at a rate of 100 packets per second. For all of the nodes, the service time is 200 packets per second. When exiting node 1, 20% of the packets travel to node 2, and 80% travel to node 3. From node 2, they all travel to node 3, and from node 3, they all exit the network. So we can ask ourselves, what is the probability that packet passes through the network with no queuing delay? So, or we can ask, what's the average delay for a packet passing through the network? And again, what we'll see is we can look at sort of the network in aggregate, or we can examine the components of the network individually, where all we need to know essentially is the rates in and rates out. Okay, so let's look at our first question. What's the probability that a packet passes through the network with no queuing delay? Okay. And so we can see what's the probability of delay at each of the individual nodes. And again, they're independent of each other. All we need to know now is the rates of traffic in into each node. So lambda 1 is 100, mu 1 is 200, so you get 0.5. And the probability of the node having no jobs, the probability of a job arriving to find the queue empty is 1 minus rho, which is in this case would be the 0.5. Lambda 2, the arrival rate into 2, well, the exit rate from 1 is 100. But then we randomly split between one node and the next, between nodes 2 and 3, with 20% going to node 2, 80% to node 3. So the rate into node 2 is 0.2 times 100. And so we have 0.2 times 100 divided by 200 gives us 0.1 for rho, and then P0 is 1 minus rho is 0.9. For our final node, well, 0.2 times 100 comes in from 2 to 3, and 0.8 times 100 comes in from 1 to 3, so 100 total enters is the rate into 3. And so rho 3 is 100 over 200, and P03 is 1 minus rho 3 is 0.5. Okay. So all of these nodes are independent, so we can calculate the probability of no queuing delay on a path-by-path basis. So there's two paths through the network, and so you need the probability that, so all paths go through node 1, so you need the probability that node 1 is empty, which is P01, and then either they go through 2 and 3 with the probability of 0.2, so that means 0.2 times P02 times P03 is the probability that that path, this portion of the path, is empty, or with 0.8 that they go through P03 only. So again, we need the probability that P03 is empty. So again, you can just plug in your values and you get the probability of no queuing delay is 0.245. Okay, the second question we asked was, what is the average delay for a packet passing through the network? And again, we can think about treating our queues separately and considering the delays at each Q. So at each Q, the delay T is 1 over mu minus lambda. And that should be 3. The average delay in the network is again, we can think of it sort of along the different paths. So everybody will experience a delay at node 1. Then 20% experience a delay at node 2 and node 3. So that's 0.2 times T2 plus T3. And 80% experience a delay at node 3 only. And so, again, if you plug in your numbers, you'll get an answer. In this case, 0.021. We could have answered the question as we did before by applying Little's law to the network as a whole. And so in order to do that, you would have to find the number of jobs in the network, and then delay is just n over lambda. Okay. So we can figure, again, we can treat each queue separately to find the number of jobs in each queue. So for 1 and 3, that's an average of 1 job in the queue. For node 2, it's an average of 0.11 jobs in the queue. Okay, so the total number of jobs is the sum of the number of jobs per queue. And so you get n is 2.11, and if you divide that by lambda, which is 100, you get t is, again, 0.021. Okay, so basically what you've seen is that you can, using Burke's theorem, you can examine each Q separately, considering just the arrival rates, which you know from the entrance into the system, and then your splitting probabilities. Okay. So, again, cyclic networks can be troublesome, but we will look at Jackson networks as a special case, and by which we can, again, derive a few results. A Jackson network, again, is a collection of queues or service nodes, each of which will have some number of servers, and they'll be infinite length and first in, first out. We assume that the network is open, so you have arrivals entering and then eventually departing. We assume that cycles are allowed, but that eventually all of the customers must leave the network, so customers do not cycle around the network indefinitely. Arrivals, and then sort of we have with so that those are the big assumptions, and then we have some notation. So arrivals from outside the network are Poisson, and they have a certain arrival rate, and so we denote the arrival rate from outside to node I by gamma I. The service times are exponentially distributed, so the service process is Poisson as well with rate mu. The probability of a customer finishing service at node I and next visiting node J is Rij, which we call the routing probability. So this is just the random splitting of the departures of departures from a node. The total arrival rate at node I is denoted by lambda I, and we can the rate of arrival from a node I to a node J is given by Rij lambda I. Okay. And the probability that a customer leaves the network having completed service at a node I is denoted Ri0. Okay. So, again, this is the network we have now. We can have cycles. We have our two cycles. One cycle here and one cycle here. And so we have entrance from outside the network, denoted by gamma. Within the network, your sort of collectively, the arrival rate into a node is lambda J, or it's sort of lambda, whatever the node is, and that's comprised of arrivals from possibly a number of sources. Okay. So the total flow into the network has to equal the flow out, and so here, so the sum of the gamma i's has got to equal the sum of the Ri0 lambda i's. And for stability, the flow into and out of individual nodes also has to balance. And that makes sense. If the flow isn't balancing, then the network isn't stable. Okay, so the rate in is equal to the rate out, but what we're not saying is that process, the arrival process, is we're not claiming that now it's Poisson. Okay, so the flows can be expressed in a vector matrix form by lambda equals gamma plus lambda times R, where R is your routing matrix. And all that's saying is that what goes in has to either come from outside or come from other nodes. We can use this to solve for lambda, our rates into each of the individual nodes. We don't explicitly look at the rate out, but that the rate out has to be 1 minus and the rate of things returning into the network. Okay, so what we've done there is we've looked at rates, flow rates, and said just in terms of stability, all of our flow rates have to balance. But we have not claimed that our distributions are Poisson. So we need something else to allow us to address handle these networks, and so what we use is what's called Jackson's theorem, and we'll state this without proof. And what Jackson's theorem states is that the equilibrium state probabilities for a Jackson network are given by the probability that node 1 is in state N1, node 2 is in state N2, node K is in state NK, is equal to 1 minus rho 1 times rho 1 to the N1, times 1 minus rho 2 to the N2, times, keeping going, 1 minus rho k to the NK. Or I should say rho N. Rho k. Where rho I is lambda I over mu I, and N I is the number of customers in node I. Okay, so again, we're not going to prove that, but we can just look at what this form has given us, and essentially what we have is a product form as if all of the nodes were independent of each other. So we can see that this is the probability. If this is the probability that you would get if you had an MM1 queue with rate lambda 1 and with rate arrival rate lambda 1 and service rate mu 1. And similarly, this is the probability that this is what you would get for Q2 being MM1, etc. Okay. So, our marginal distributions, so looking at any given Q, the probability of being in state that node I is in state K is, again, 1 minus rho I over rho I to the K. And so what this means is that our Jackson networks they look as if they're a collection of MM1 Qs, even though the arrival processes internal to the network are generally not Poisson. So, again, this is going to allow us to treat the networks as if, again, they were this collection of independent queues. So we can calculate the mean number in node I. As, in the same way we would have calculated it for the MM1Q and the mean delay in node I as before as well. And so the average number of customers in the entire network is just the sum of the number in each of the queues, and the average delay is, again, we can use Little's law, it's just the average number in the network divided by the arrival rate, where the arrival rate is the total external arrival rate for the network. Okay, so again, we're just going to look at an example of how we might use this. Okay, so here we have a network of queues. Now, again, we have a cycle from Q1, 30% of the traffic goes to Q2, 70 to Q3. If from Q2, it all goes back to Q1. From Q3, 20% goes to Q2, and 80% exits the network. So again, we can ask to calculate the average delay for a packet to traverse the network. And we can also ask, what's the maximum arrival rate to node 1 for the system to be stable? Okay, so for the system to be stable, rho over mu is going to have to be less than 1 at each point in the system. We'll see it's fairly straightforward in this case, but in general, it might not be completely obvious. Okay. So, to calculate the average delay for the packet, again, we're going to need to calculate the number of jobs, packets in the system, which means calculating the number in individual queues. And in order to do that, we're going to need to know the arrival rate into any individual queue. So from that we get, once we know the arrival rate, we have the service rate, we get rho, and then we get n from that. Okay, so we need to solve the equation lambda equals gamma I minus R inverse. Okay, so you can solve this directly using the adjugate over determinant A inverse is adjugate A over determinant A, and so, or any other means that is your preferred means. Okay, so we have I minus R, and from that we can determine the matrix of cofactors. So again, with the plus and alternating plus and minus, and then looking at the determinant for the submatrix. And then the adjugate is just the transpose of the cofactors. Okay, similarly, we can calculate the determinant. And from that we get the inverse, which gives us this value. Okay. So that's our value for I minus R inverse. Again, you can take the inverse in using whatever method you prefer. So what we need is lambda is gamma times I minus R inverse. And so that will give us this value corresponding to having picked off this row times 100. Okay, so that gives us the rate into any individual node. And so we now know, given the rate in and the service rate, n, the number in the node is rho I over 1 minus rho I. And so that gives us the total number, so it gives us the number in each, the average number in each node. And summing those together, you get the total number in the network. Okay, then you can just use Little's law to determine your delay, which is n over, in this case, gamma, since we only have one stream of arrival into the network. Okay, so the second question we asked was, what's the maximum arrival rate to node 1 for the system to be stable? And so we can see, just by substituting, instead of 100, we now have gamma 1, a variable rate, and we can get values for lambda 1, lambda 2, lambda 3. And examining this, we observe that the highest rate into a node is into node 1 at the 1.7857 gamma 1. Now, our requirement for stability is that at each of the nodes, lambda must be less than mu. So 1.7857 gamma 1 has to be less than 200, which gives us gamma 1 has to be less than 200 over 1.7857, or 112 packets per second. Okay, so that was a very brief presentation of what you can do with networks of queues. And that concludes our sort of examination of queues as sort of theoretical constructs, and represents the almost the last topic in this module. Next week we will examine how we can reason about medium access control, and it's a combination of queuing and other analytical techniques. So that's it for today, and we'll take up with analysis of medium access control protocols next week.